The lesson comes from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The great theologian Paul Tillich said, "Faith is a matter of ultimate concern." And church is a place where we talk about ultimate things. And a day like All Saints Sunday brings our ultimate concerns into a field of focus where in this place called church, we look and we see and we speak and we hear about what concerns us most as mortal beings made of flesh and bone, dust and dirt. Yes, I'm talking about dying. And I'm talking about death. And I'm talking about the ultimate destiny of both our bodies and also our souls. And as I'm talking about these ultimate concerns, I know that you are thinking about them also, and have been for as long as you can remember, if you are human. In his famous book, The Denial of Death, Ernest Becker said that human beings are the only animals capable of contemplating death. I don't know that that is true, but what I do know is that we as humans do consider death and begin doing so at a very young age. When our daughter, Gabrielle, was 3 years old, she walked into the bathroom where I was shaving in front of the mirror. She asked me what that white stuff was on my face. "It's shaving cream," I said. She laughed and said with a smile, "I thought you were going gray." "Well, my beard is gray," I said. "That's why I shave it." Suddenly, the smile went away from Gabby's face, and she began to cry. "I don't want you to die," she said. The contemplation of death comes early, and it comes with the moral force of a Mack truck. It's hard and it's heavy and it's crushing the first time we consider it. We are awakened to consciousness and to consequence, which is not so much to mean the wages of our sin, but the natural and inevitable succession of our being and our non-being. And it kills us. So at a very early age, what Isaiah calls the shroud falls over all persons, and we begin to consider our own mortality and the mortality of those whom we love, whether we wish to or not. And that was the thesis of Becker's famous book, that we really don't want to think about death, so instead we deny it, we avoid it, we put off thinking about it as long and as far as we can so that we don't have to deal with it. This is why so many I see die without a will. It's the reason why so many drink and drug themselves into an oblivion. And it is the rationality or the irrationality of a 90-year-old man who had had congestive heart failure for a decade, yet who was still not understanding it when the doctor said, "There is nothing more we can do." 90 years old, and he couldn't believe it, wouldn't believe it. 90 years old and still in denial when he said to me and his grown daughter, who with tears in her eyes kept calling him daddy, "With all these machines here in this hospital, I can't believe there's nothing else that they can do." And I thought to myself, not in a judgmental way, but in a sad and a sorry way, I wish he had been in church more often. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. I do not think church folks are immune from denying death. Surely we do ourselves deny it also. This is why Becker said we build cathedrals to be a part of something greater than ourselves, something more lasting than our mortal lives. That, by the way, is a pretty good and standard stewardship campaign promise. We do all deny death in some kind of way. But the church has a way of confronting us with death over and over again. As we've lost our natural connections with death on the farm and in the field, and as modern medicine has made death seem like such an impossibility for so long in our lives, the church forces us to think on it again and again, week in and week out. There's the text in the lectionary, an announcement about a visitation in the bulletin, a service for so-and-so on Saturday. When we come to church, we cannot help but be confronted with ultimate concerns. We think on their death or deaths, and in turn cannot help but be reminded of our own. We are reminded again and again, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. And so I've always loved Tony Campolo's gruff and plain-spoken Philadelphia preacher who told his congregation the truth that we all need to know. One of these days, you're going to die, and everybody's going to gather in the cemetery out back of the church, and they're going to go there, and they're going to throw dirt at your casket. Then they're going to come back into the fellowship hall and eat potato salad. The church is a place of ultimate concerns, and it is a place of ultimate truth. But death, death is not the ultimate truth. It is only the penultimate. There is an even deeper and more ultimate truth which we speak of in church. It is that which we call eternal life. This is not only the life we are promised and proclaim exists after life in heaven. It is the life that we are promised and proclaim and live here on earth, even in the midst of death. For even in the midst of the truth of death, we as Christians proclaim and live a deeper truth of life. Life here and now and always and there, and life everlasting. This is the hope that we have always. The hope here and the hope there. And the reason why at every funeral we have, you will hear me use St. Paul's true and truer words. We grieve. We grieve. But not as those who have no hope. This, by the way, is part of the reason why we show up at the funeral. Let that be subliminal to you. To pay respects to the deceased and their family, and to be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. The reading from Revelation today gives vivid image to this hope. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Mourning and crying will be no more. The tears of the saints who passed this past year will be no more. The tears of you who love them will be no more. My daughters and sons, and all of the rest of our tears of anxiety and fear will be no more. They'll all be wiped away. And as the old shoeshine man preacher and seer used to say as he sat on his shoeshine stand in the foyer of the Cast Iron Grill in downtown Lubbock, God's got a mighty big handkerchief in the back of his pocket to wipe away all of those tears. Indeed. The shroud is lifted, as Isaiah put it. And I read that, and I cannot help but think of the priest and the poet, John Donne, putting on his death shroud for a portrait in the last weeks of his life, just before alighting the pulpit for the last time to preach his own funeral sermon titled Death's Duel. And I think of that, and the statue of Donne in the shroud pulled from the fire that destroyed the old St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and these defiant words about death Donne left to us all. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those who thou thinkest thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. One short sleep passed, and we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. Death is a concern. It is a major existential and life-altering concern, but it is only the penultimate concern. There is life and there is death, then there is life after death. And in the midst of death, there is life also, the ultimate concern. Thanks be to God. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. As Christians, we believe this. And as the church, we teach it Sunday by Sunday. And as those who follow in the way of the saints that have gone before us, we draw courage to live it out with conviction. This is why in the rose window to my left, we have these courageous apostles who were willing to give their lives for the sake of our shared hope in Christ. There is Philip's slender cross symbolizing his martyrdom. The spear which Thomas took at his death. The battle axe which Matthew faced in his last moments. And the cross swords which symbolize James the Major's death at the hands of the swordsman in the book of Acts. These, and there's also this white stole, the one which I wear every All Saints Sunday and at funerals also, a gift given to me from the wife of an old Methodist minister and mentor who, facing cancer at age 80, made the courageous decision not to fight it, because he said he had lived long and well enough, and he had. He and my great aunt Opal, matriarch of our family, who introduced me to that minister, and whom we said goodbye to this year at age 98. She's the one I've told you about before, who, in spite of her father's wishes, went down to the recruiting office and joined the Navy in World War II. "You go on down there and sign up," her mother told her. "I'll take care of your daddy." Some things never change in our family. We remembered that story at her service in September, along with many others. We laughed and we cried and we laughed some more. And God took that great big handkerchief and wiped every tear from our eyes. It was true, we grieved and we still grieve, and there is no denying it, but not as those who have no hope. For the shroud was lifted and is lifted, and death has died. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus the Christ. Alleluia, alleluia, world without end. Amen.